Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You got a team, here's a word of the wise. You want to dominate your league? Go to Football Guys.
Football, I'm living in a fantasy. Football, got everybody mad at me. Football, because every game I had to win. Football, I got to be a champion. Football, I'm living in a fantasy.
That's right, we are living in a fantasy, waiting and hanging out with Deion Sanders. Going to have to wait for now because it's week 14 waiver wire show. Cecil Lammy, Sigmund Bloom, and of course, the injury rounds for the quarterbacks and the great Dr. Gene Bramall, who will join us in spirit here as we talk about Jimmy Garoppolo. Oh, man, you're going to need some help. Jimmy Garoppolo, Kyle Shanahan said he, quote, broke a few things, close quote, in his foot and will require season-ending surgery. Here comes Brock Purdy. And, well, has Baker Mayfield signed anywhere? Like, seriously, I just woke up, Bloom. Has Baker Mayfield signed anywhere?
No, claimed. But, He'll get claimed. The expectation is he will get claimed.
Okay, all right. So we got, all right. We got a lot to get to when it comes to quarterbacks, injured quarterbacks, and we go to upgrades, downgrades, and waiver wire report. Always got to slow down when I say that. This is available at footballguys.com. Bloom, it's your list, and let's get to it. Jared Goff, Tyler Huntley, 25 to 50% for both of these young men. With varying ways, they're going to beat you.
Yeah, and I want to make it clear, 25 to 50%. Well, actually, let me take a step back. I just want to take a step back, Cease, as I always do. There was a time when we did this show, the Waiver Wire show, that come week 14, we would say, does anybody even care, really?
Remember, we used to not do Waiver Wire
shows. And nobody pushed back. Nobody said, where's the Waiver Wire show? And then we started... there's a phenomenon. If you have you see under the hood of fantasy football, you know the engagement, clicks, listens, whatever, it drops off as the season goes on. It makes sense, right? I mean, just more people don't care as much about it because their teams are out of it or whatever. But now the fantasy football world has changed, and we don't even question it, right? Waivers are at least enough leagues open during the playoffs, and it has urgency. But there was an original feel about these shows, Cease, when we would do the waiver wire show during the fantasy playoffs. We'd say, like, well, it's still just a chance to hang out. So, I mean, it is December. The fantasy football world, the football world's going to go our separate ways. The draft people are going to, of course, geek out together. But otherwise... So let's enjoy these opportunities to get together and talk football, because that's what we like to do. I want to make it clear that I have a preference between Huntley and Goff. Okay. It's Goff. And if, especially if you're picking up someone for this week, six teams on bye. So that's the other thing, Cease. A week 14, six teams on bye.
Yeah. So, and after two teams last, it's so stupid. And it's especially weird. We're so late in the season. By the way, I'd flip the two.
Yeah.
So let's go on. Let's talk about this.
They need somebody in league offices. Sees what is it, 345 Fifth Avenue or something like that? I don't know. It's not big enough to have a name quite yet, like 30 Rock. But anyway, my point is, they need somebody there that is a fantasy football. Yeah, they need somebody there that can say, like, hey, fantasy football, I'm going to stand up for fantasy football's interests. Don't put six byes in week 14. That's a really important week for fantasy football.
I blame Greg Rosenthal. Come on, Greg. Yeah,
Greg, get those people on the phone. Greg's a wonderful dude. So. I think if you need someone for this week, now there's actually no good fantasy quarterbacks on bye this week except for Justin Fields. So maybe you covering Justin Fields, then that's definitely Jared Goff. But even if you're looking forward, you want to spice up your quarterback rotation. One of my teams that is going to the playoffs, I've got Sam Darnold and Aaron Rodgers. So yeah, I wish that one of these guys were on waivers.
They're not
on waivers. So let's start with Jared Goff. And it's like we fell asleep and we woke up again to the offense we saw early in the season for the Lions, which is one of the best offenses in the league, right? One of the best offenses for fantasy football. And Amon-Ra St. Brown looks like a league winner. DeAndre Swift looks like a league winner. Jamal Williams still worth a flex play, maybe more, week 17 against Chicago. And DJ Chark playing like the DJ Chark we remember. He's healthy again. All these players have had injury problems at different points in the season. Even without TJ Hawkinson, because enter stage left, Jameson Williams. So all this stuff is really exciting. So you want to get a part of that with Jared Goff. And this week, you're playing indoors against Minnesota. Minnesota defense can be very suspect at times. And if you look ahead for Goff, you've got at the Jets, at Carolina. Okay, Carolina's defense is actually underrated. But again, week 17, indoors against Chicago's defense. That sounds like a league winner to me. So I think Goff is the priority, but then we have Tyler Huntley. Last year, Tyler Huntley was a quarterback one, and the bar for quarterback one is lower this year. Mm-hmm. So if last year Huntley was a good fantasy quarterback to have when Lamar Jackson was out, what is he this year? However, we don't know when Lamar Jackson is going to return. Probably the playoffs, right, Cease? If they make the playoffs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what I'm thinking.
Plays in the regular season.
I don't think so. But that still is, you know, we're not 100% on that. And maybe if they fall to the point where they need to win to get in the playoffs, maybe that gets Jackson back out on the field. So I don't think we're going to see Jackson. I know that John Harbaugh said days, not weeks, but John Harbaugh is definitely one of the coaches we can say, just ignore what he says about injuries. Really, he's not going to tell us anything. Correct. He's going to be vague. And even sometimes when he's specific, it's going to be obvious that he was just throwing us off the trail. This week against the Steelers, I don't know, Cease. I think the Steelers are going to have a little extra, oomph, I think, for this game. Rivalry game. You saw the Saints against the Bucks last night, rivalry games. And Tyler Huntley could look very limited. So I'm not loving Tyler Huntley this week. However, Tyler Huntley has that Konami code, and he could just prove me wrong. And obviously, he should be 50%+. He should obviously be the pickup of the week. So I prefer Goff. I think there is a big decision here. And of course, as we always say to remind people, consider adding them even if you don't need them. Maybe especially if you don't need them. And even if you look at your team and you have two good quarterbacks, or you look at other teams and they all have good quarterbacks, they're not going to need them anyway. Duh. By week 16, week 17, things change. It's going to get crazier and crazier. So this is very important. And Cease, when we get to cue the Chuck D, we get to hold on. If you're looking at having to drop someone that you feel, should I really drop this player? Should I drop Michael Pittman to get Tyler Huntley or Jared Goff, even though I have Kyler Murray? Yeah, I think so. Right? Should I drop Courtland Sutton? My point is, like, players that you drafted, players you counted on, mm-hmm. and now we're at the point in the season where you just are looking at the fantasy playoffs. Is this player actually going to help me? I think we have a pretty good idea at this point about a lot of these players, even though they might have had a lot more invested in them than you would expect for a player you're going to drop in week 14 for Tyler Huntley.
Two references, Showgirls and ZZ Top. One,
Showgirls. I think that's reference number 178 to Showgirls.
Yeah, we did it. We ran a commercial. Raj made a commercial one time with a promo, and I can't remember what it was like. I used to love eating doggy chow, and he did it for me. And then he like sent it to me, and we laughed about it. I was like, thank you for using the Showgirls reference in a commercial over there that like three people would get. But two things. One, we ain't got no ties. So Courtland Sutton. Like, we ain't got no ties. Like, sorry, done. And then the reason I prefer Huntley over Goff, they are very close, but I would prefer Huntley because he's got legs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's fair.
And he knows how to use them. That's for sure. So it's a lot easier to pick up those yards and double those points than throwing and relying on coverage and drops and routes and all that. Just run. Take off and run. Take off to the other quarterbacks here on your list, Bloom. Mike White, Daniel Jones, Taylor Heineke, all in that middle part. If they haven't been picked up yet, and they should be, 15 to 30%, 12 to 25%, 10 to 20%, all kind of in that cluster, Bloom.
Yeah, and again, the numbers really don't mean much now. I mean, now it's basically, what are you waiting for? It's like, go ahead and use what you have. We're sorting through these guys, and I'm trying to at least give you all some sort of guidance of how I would sort these guys out. Mike White, Cease, why is Robert Saleh? We love Robert Saleh, Dearborn, Detroit. We love Robert Saleh. Why is he saying the plan is Zach Wilson's going to play again this year? Why say that? Are we still boosting Zach Wilson's confidence?
No, remember, there's the GM.
He's being told to say it.
Robert Saleh is battling against his GM on which quarterback to play. He has been all year. And I'm not telling any tales like that. If you've listened to this show, you're already, you picked that up. That's why.
Cecil, I'm gonna need you to console me now. I'm gonna need you to call me. This is, maybe I'm just triggered because this is one of the situations where, okay, like imagine if you're Robert Saleh And you're like, God, oh, I got to play Zach Wilson. We got to still win games. Okay, we're winning games. Okay. And eventually Zach Wilson, maybe it wasn't that he played terribly. It was the way he spouted off. And then the way that got amplified in the media, it is the New York media, that finally said, well, now we're going to give Mike White a chance. And of course, Mike White, everything is we expected. Everything we've already seen. We've already seen this.
Exactly.
Mike White, you know, revitalizes the offense. And then he would think, okay, it's settled now. Like you don't have to plead your case anymore. The football gods, ball don't lie, right, Cease? Ball don't lie. Why are we still talking about Zach Wilson? But then that makes me hesitant about Mike White as a quarterback you can count on as we get deeper into the fantasy playoffs. But the numbers are there. The offense is there. And again, when we get to the fantasy playoffs, we can look at the schedule and have a very clear, defined idea of what are we really talking about here? What does this player represent? In the case of Mike White, now this week at Baltimore, at Buffalo, I'm not sure about that. That could be, ask Mac Jones. That could be rough. But then you have Detroit. Now, here's a little, I'm going to speechify. Don't look at season-long ranks for teams, team defense, rush defense, whatever. Look at the last 4 or 5 weeks. Detroit's defense has been pretty good. Pretty good. So we might have said, again, and this is also why when we look ahead to schedule, I write an article and I do this. Maybe don't look ahead too soon. Like looking ahead in week 8, week 9 might be too soon. Week 11, week 12, now we can start to understand what we have in the fantasy playoffs. But then you have Jacksonville and you have at Seattle. So if he is still the starting quarterback for those weeks, Jared Goff versus Chicago, indoors, give me that. But Mike White, we could end up seeing him much more valuable and worth a spot in that Goff Huntley tier, because they kicked 5 field goals last week. Braxton Berrios dropped the game winning touchdown, or we're talking about Mike White as a 25-30 point play, right? Mm-hmm. So keep that in mind. Daniel Jones. I'm always reminded of Andrew Luck. Did you see there's a Seth Wickersham piece that's out about Andrew Luck? It's great, Cease. I wanted to say drink because he said, I have clarity that I don't need more clarity.
That's like a double.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Pour me a double. And yeah. You know, it's
not good. During the show.
He's on the journey. He's on the journey. You know, he's saying things like, I don't need to know all the answers. Maybe the answer is I don't need to know the answers. Mm-hmm. Reminds me of things I did when I was younger, like 19 or 20 years old. Anyway, Daniel Jones on the Andrew Luck journey, it's all on Daniel Jones. And he's fighting for his team's playoff hopes. What, did you think we were going to be saying that? Daniel Jones in December was going to be fighting for his team's playoff hopes, throwing to Darius Slayton, Isaiah Hodgins, and Daniel Bellinger. But here we are now against Philly this week. You don't want to use Daniel Jones. However, you like that he's going to use. There's those legs, the ZZ Top leg, Cease. And he's getting it done. He's actually passing reasonably efficiently, getting it done with this ragtag group. I think we can say pretty clearly at this point, like Daniel Jones is at least going to get a transition tag. He's done it. And for fantasy football, he can do it down the stretch. Washington next week, Minnesota, Indianapolis. That doesn't sound too daunting to me. And then Taylor Heinicke, he's on bye. He played his best game as a passer last week. He got Jahan Dotson involved. He got Curtis Samuel, of course, Terry McLaurin. And this is an offense that's going to play Washington against the Giants again. They actually flexed that game to prime time. And then you're going to see Washington get at San Francisco. Oof. Okay, you're not going to use Taylor Heinicke that week. But then against Cleveland, maybe. And it's just great to see things that we didn't project completely, at least. And we were thinking Sam Howell, right? The beginning mm-hmm. of the season.
Yeah.
We were thinking Washington's going to be a bad team. We're going to see Sam Howell by the
right.
time.
Well, Taylor Heinicke is like Mike White. You know, we've seen this before.
Right.
But Heinicke's kind of, you know, he's still inconsistent. He still plays YOLO ball, and he's making a little fewer mistakes, and they're winning. So
yeah,
he's staying in. Now
it's his team.
Fans want to know Lester, our guy, Brock Purdy. And I saw him down at the Shrine game last year, Bloom. And I was excited to go into that game knowing that Brock Purdy was there. Mm-hmm. Malik Willis was almost at the Shrine game last year. The Shrine, our dear friend Eric Galco, he's making moves with that game. That game is very significant. And you know, there were years, I've told the story before, there was the 1 year I was like, I don't know if I'm going to go. I might go to the NFLPA game instead, which I've never been to, because the Shrine kept it up. The Shrine kept it up with their talent. Now that talent's getting better. So Brock Purdy was out there, and when I saw him, I was like, oh, I hope he never has to play in like a light wind. Because man alive. It's not good. It doesn't look good, everybody. But hey, in that system, when you can master that system and you can run the hell out of the ball, and man, Kyle, it's like the surgeon that tried to fix the Joker's face in 89 Batman. It's like, these are the tools I have to work with. Like, okay. So this is what you're going to get. It's some sort of Frankenstein monster of an offense. But why isn't Brock Purdy a little bit higher? Or is he at the right spot for you, Bloom? Let's get into the Brock Purdy talk, which could be pretty robust.
Purdy. It could be Purdy. Mm-hmm. It could be Purdy. Here's the problem. And by, I think that Doug Farrar, I could be wrong, it's either Mike Tenney or Doug Farrar from the old Football Outsiders.
Oh, I love those guys. Two of the best.
That said Brock Purdy, like future Houston Texans offensive coordinator, Brock Purdy.
That sounds like tenure. Yeah, that's right. Mike. That sounds like Mike.
Yeah, you know, so I don't want to fix any, maybe in a two quarterback super flex league, I don't want to necessarily fix any of my hopes to Brock Purdy. Now, you do have the Tampa Bay matchup this week, although Tampa Bay's defense come on a little bit. Cincinnati, I'm sorry, not Cincinnati, that's Tampa Bay. It's actually San Francisco will get Seattle. That's not bad. Washington, their defense is coming on. Vegas. But you have to think with this defense coming on that the design is going to be Brock Purdy throws the ball 20 times, 15. How many times was Trey Lance going to throw the ball game? It's going to be the same.
Yeah, 15 to 17.
It's why you know, maybe I'm underestimating Jordan Mason. As I talk through the season, I'm thinking maybe Jordan Mason is going to get 15 carries a game because that, you know, where those would have been 10 more Trey Lance rushes at the beginning of the season, now it's maybe 10 more Jordan Mason.
There might be a game where Debo has more touchdown throws than Brock Purdy.
Sure. So I'm not, but like you said, Cease, the system, and then, yeah, you're throwing to Debo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk and Christian McCaffrey and George Kittle. That sounds like a recipe for fantasy success. But I don't want to count on it if I don't have to. You know who I really want to talk about, Cease, here, as we're really milking the quarterback section. But it's because it's all interesting. Well, the reason we're milking this quarterback section in the way, Cease, is because these are such fascinating stories unfolding. Like the quarterback position as the vehicle where it's unfolding. Kyle Shanahan, you know, it was going to be Trey Lance, who he didn't really want. Did he want Mac Jones? Well, geez, at least he didn't get Mac Jones. I mean, then Trey Lance gets hurt. Then, they kept Jimmy around. No one expected that. Then everything's great. Like all of a sudden it just felt normal. Like we're just back to normal. And now there's a team that legit Super Bowl contender. Their defense is maybe better than the team that was on the doorstep last year, right? They're better. Maybe their defense might be better than the team that went to the Super Bowl the way they're playing right now, and they lose their quarterback. Oh my, gut punch! I want to talk about Josh Johnson because I think now you talk about the legs, the ZZ Top legs. You know, if Brock Purdy shrinks back down to Mr. Irrelevant.
Oh, plug in Josh,
and now we're talking for fantasy. So I mean, I should have put him in as a. It didn't happen.
1%er, half a 1%er. Yeah.
Well, and also in your two quarterback super flex leagues, especially where you have maybe an extra spot to spare. Because when I saw they signed Josh Johnson, to be about thinking about things that happened 15 years ago.
Right.
That's how long he's been around. He was a Draft Guys TV alum, and then my brain wants to just run away with itself, right? Because he's a Bay Area guy. And why not Josh Johnson winning games in the playoffs?
Why not Josh Johnson to win your fantasy championship? Why not?
Yeah.
And Kyle goes with what works. And I will say this, Bloom, super quick. We can't get off track and actually have stuff to do after this. But anyway, like the Mac Jones stuff, and you know who I talked to in San Francisco. The Mac Jones stuff has always been overblown. I'm not exactly sure where that came from. But
it was the guy who has Kyle's name tattooed on his body.
I think it's a little
so that's fair.
It's a little overblown, but yeah, and then don't be like me because when I was doing a radio show with Bo Scaife and I was like, who would have another man's initials tattooed on your body? And Bo like lifted up his leg up his pant leg, and there's Kyle's initials.
It was a special time. I lived in Austin in that time, and
I can't remember the fourth guy. Do you remember the fourth guy? Because there's four guys that have that tattoo.
Jordan Shipley had
Bo Scaife, Kyle Shanahan, Chris Sims, and I'm sorry, I can't remember the fourth guy.
We're gonna have to follow up on this at some point. Anyway,
yeah.
So we'll see. So interesting things happening, and again, the waiver wire is important because there's not 12 good fantasy quarterbacks. And you might have been saying, "Oh, Deshaun Watson's gonna save my bacon," and now you're wondering, "But what do I even have in Deshaun Watson?" So this waiver wire run at quarterbacks is really, really important. And then the 1%ers for two correct superflex, Desmond Ridder, Bailey Zappi, we're gonna see them start before the end of the season. and then we can go on to running backs.
Okay, now we can go on to running backs. We spent a solid 20 minutes on
quarterbacks. It's fascinating. These are the stories, man. These are the stories that make us want to watch on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. These are the stories, and well, these are the injuries that we'll go over. It's Dr. Gene Brammel's Monday Injury Rounds. You can check out the report at footballguys.com. And well, we all love you, Dr. Gene, and we all are waiting for Joe Mixon to be back. He was pretty close this last week. I honestly thought maybe he would be out there against the Chiefs, but he's probably going to return in week 14. Of course, the concussion protocols knocked him out of the last couple of games. Day to day, so we'll be watching that, how that affects their backfield touches. Again, that's the Monday Injury Rounds report. It is available at footballguys.com. Now to the top of your list. Take me to the top. It is 50%+ for James Cook, deserving of his own section.
Yeah, and I'll keep this short because of the quarterbacks, but it's just a simple. If you've been sitting on your money in the waiver wire and you wanted to have the hammer, and there's a reasonable chance James Cook could be out there, this is it. I mean, this is what you're not going to get. The train's leaving the station. Spend it all. Go every last dollar to get James Cook. It may and should remain somewhat of a committee, but James Cook explosive, and he's got the fresh legs. He's involved in the passing game. Y'all know. So James Cook, league winner, and it would make sense. He says Breece Hall, league winner. No, he goes down. Kenneth Walker, league winner. No, he goes down. Damian Pierce, league winner. No, he plays for the Texans. Rookie running backs. We'll see. James Cook, it's your turn.
It's your turn. You're up, kid. So let's see what you can do. And well, you're up, Bloom, when it talks about Raheem Mostert, Zonovan Knight. Love that name.
Yeah.
Cam Akers. Yes, yes, yes. That's right. Cam Akers as well. Jordan Mason, 10 to 20%. But Bloom, you kind of talked yourself into maybe bumping him up.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Or at the very least, not being disappointed if you got your fourth choice and it was Jordan Mason. Okay. You're jealous you didn't come up with the name Zonovan Cease. That would have been a great name. But let's start with Raheem Mostert. Miami, Mike McDaniel can't make up his mind, it appears, between Wilson and Mostert. Mostert's healthy. Mostert gets like 70% of the snaps. Mostert looks better than Wilson. Mostert gets a lot more opportunities than Wilson. And all I know is this. Mostert plays the Chargers this week. So I'm inclined to watch him get hurt on the first carry. Ha. But it's the Chargers. It's the Chargers. So... yeah, Mostert, he's more of a priority pickup just because I know this week he can help my team and maybe he's going to develop momentum. He's in a good offense. We know he's good. Zonovan Knight, when's Michael Carter going to play again? I don't know. Maybe this week. What is Knight going to be worth? Well, he's the number two, and we know that the Jets offense can support two fantasy running backs. So we're not throwing Zonovan Knight back, but is he really more of a what the heck flex going forward than anything else? But they have something here. I feel sad for James Robinson. It's not going to happen for James Robinson. Coming soon to a shut him down segment near you. And Knight has definitely made his place, I think, going forward for this team. Cam Akers, see, there's part of me that's like, if you start a Rams running back in a fantasy matchup that means anything to you,
you deserve what happens.
Yeah, you get what you do. Thanks. You finished it wonderfully for me. But at the same time, he scored two touchdowns last week. They play Vegas. They play the Chargers still. I mean, a running back against the Chargers? None of us would be shocked if he scored two touchdowns again. So it's more like, I don't want to have to play Cam Akers, but if injuries happen, et cetera, or at the very least, this is one that someone else could throw at me as a Hail Mary. So is it a rock block? I don't know, because Sean McVay could go back to Kyron Williams this week, for all we know. Jordan Mason, we talked about, and he's running the ball well. It's almost like begrudgingly, they finally gave Jordan Mason a chance because they really just wanted to keep him for special teams. And he's like, yeah, I'm actually good at running the ball too, as I was in the preseason. Like, I'm that same guy. And again, there's that Christian McCaffrey injury upside. So if we're talking about league winning potential, no, Cam Akers doesn't have it. Zonovan Knight probably doesn't have it. Raheem Mostert, he has it, but there's a lot of variables there. You tell me a story where Jordan Mason wins champion. That's a believable story.
Yeah.
Again, with Brock Purdy and the idea that this team is going to rely more on the running game.
Yep. And in that system, you got to do what they tell you.
Yeah.
Why don't these guys start until Clinton Portis didn't start until week six and he had 1,500 yards that year? Why didn't he start until week six? Because you got to pass protect and you got to do what the system tells you. And when you do, It is glorious. Speaking of glorious, Bloom, we've got other running backs to talk about, including Jerick McKinnon. Tony Jones. Got to hang out on the rock, Tony. Slam down at the Shrine game. There's your drink. Ty Johnson, 3-5%. Hell, let's throw in DJ Dallas as a 1%er there as well, because someone's got to run the ball in Seattle.
Right. So
Travis Homer was sick, right? Is that right?
I don't know. That's the part, it's Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll's right there with John Harbaugh,
right?
As far as information, I'll just get Jerick McKinnon out of the way. He's more like desperation depth, but we all have had times we've won fantasy championships or stayed alive because of that guy on our bench that we said, well, I'm not going to start him unless I have to, but if I do, he might get me 10, 12, 14 points in a PPR league. That's Jerick McKinnon if he's out there. Tony Jones, I guess right now, is in line to start against Carolina. Still Tony Jones. So I'm not excited. But, and then again, this is one, it's more likely that picking up Tony Jones will help you, not by playing him, but if you're facing somebody this week that needs a running back or needs a flex, and he's not one of the options for them, because there's a possibility as we go into Sunday that we can pencil him in for 15 touches and a chance at a touchdown. It's the Seattle offense. I mean, he may well get 2 or 3 touchdowns because Metcalf could get pulled down in the end zone, pass interference, touchdown Tony Jones, right? So there's formalized value here. Not that we believe in Tony Jones. It's more like we believe in the Seattle offense. And DJ Dallas is there because at least he played and gutted out an injury. But like you said, maybe I should have Travis Homer here. The bottom line is just monitor the Seattle situation. We could see Kenneth Walker play. It's Seattle. DK Metcalf had an injury that looked like he was going to miss time, and he played the next week. Ty Johnson's kind of like bargain bin Jerick McKinnon, the passing down back. Decent offense. Yeah, he was worth, I think, 10, 11, 12 fantasy points last week in PPR league. So he could save your bacon. That's how we're thinking about things now. You know, players you need in case of emergency and players that have a chance to have their value grow before the end of the season.
What is it about quarterbacks today, Bloom? Because Ryan posts this about the Ravens let Lamar walk and then draft Anthony Richardson. You know, I just watched yesterday some film on Anthony Richardson. Do you know how I did it?
How?
I did it like this. You take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you Anthony Richardson.
But Cecil, since you and I have been hanging out talking football formally for like 16 years, it would be quite a thing if we see the NFL come all the way around, and instead of giving bad quarterbacks who are tall and have big arms.
They got those in this class too.
Sure, but it used to be that those were the guys, Tom Savage. It used to be those were the guys who always got chances or got overdrafted, right? And if the NFL is overdrafting athletes at quarterback, if the NFL is giving athletes who otherwise can't, like, isn't that progress?
Right. Well, it's a pendulum, right? We're at a pendulum. There needs to be a middle point, but it used to be the big, tall pocket passer. Now the pendulum's over to more athletic guys because you don't want to miss out, and the legs can solve a lot.
Right.
Legs can solve a lot.
Which again comes back to, how did Baker Mayfield get drafted number one again?
He had that little legs. All right.
Big, small.
Smalls. You're killing me, Smalls. All right. So wide receiver position we go, which means injury report, Monday injury rounds. Dr. Gene Bramble. There he is. Boom. Love him. And we got to go to the Monday injury rounds available at footballguys.com. So make sure to check out that. Make sure to look at that. It looks like for wide receivers, we are watching for eligible to return guys here in week 15, including a Mecole Hardman. And that's week 15, by the way. Eligible to return now, James Washington. We're watching that. And recoveries to monitor, including Mike Williams. I feel like we could say that every week.
Every
day. Every day. There we go. Now I got to go from Gene Bramble to this guy. Every day. That's right. That's right, everybody. So now we get to your list, Bloom. It is upgrades, downgrades, waiver wire report available at footballguys.com. And wide receivers, and this kind of fits in with what you said about Jared Goff. There's DJ Chark, 15 to 30%. There's Michael Gallup at 15 to 30%. Let's go Tyler Boyd. Let's go Corey Davis making those big catches. And those last two are 12 to 25% guys.
Yeah, so not essential, but again, having that depth, you never know who's going to get hot. Cecil Lammy Windows. And the top tier is Chark and Gallup. I love DJ Chark. I think he's a great player. And I'm glad that he's regain the form he had. He was a legit awesome deep threat. There was a year there, sees for Jacksonville, that he looked like he was going to be one of the best receivers in the league. Just another one of those LSU receivers, right? Mm-hmm. And he still got that game. I mean, there he could make wow plays, and he's a wow athlete too. And we're in a hyper efficient offense. Now Jameson Williams is going to come maybe and eventually cut into his targets or role, but then Jay Glazer saying Dan Campbell was going to use Jameson Williams as a punt gunner. So that maybe something that maybe Jameson Williams isn't going to get integrated into the offense as quickly. I would love to see the Lions win out and make the playoffs, by the way. DJ Chark helps them be able to do that. Michael Gallup has a lower ceiling in terms of catches and yards than Chark, but you saw the two touchdowns. It's Dallas. And he makes sense as a player like Chris Godwin is getting far enough removed from that ACL surgery that we're starting to see the player he was before coming back just in time to help for the fantasy playoffs. Tyler Boyd. Tyler Boyd had one of the worst touchdown drops you'll ever see. Cease, it was one that I think a reasonable, like you or I would have caught it. It was like when you played Nerf football with your friends when you were like 9 years old. I mean, he was slowing down. There's nobody around him.
Right.
I mean, it was really just classic throwing the ball back and forth with your friends. But he also caught 4 for 60, and Hayden Hurst is hurt. So it would make sense that Tyler Boyd would soak up some of those targets. And Cincinnati is clicking. Man, you love to see that. Corey Davis, big fourth down and 10 catch. Great throw by Mike White. Zinged it in there, man. And you have Garrett Wilson. So know this about Mike White. Again, he can make Corey Davis fantasy relevant while Garrett Wilson is winning your week for you. So there's that much to go around in this offense. That should make you excited to pick up Corey Davis if he's out there.
I'm excited about the Chiefs-Bengals rivalry. Like two people that stopped in Baton Rouge at Apple, I think, to watch Colts Patriots. Yeah, Brady Manning. Burrow Mahomes, thank you.
The coolest customers, man.
NFL gods.
I mean, those dudes, they're cooler. I want to come up with something because you want to say cooler on the other side of the pillow. It's just like, whatever. There's nothing cooler than Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes. They make those sayings totally useless.
Mm. I'll tell you what. Let's talk about the next two, and they're both Washington receivers, Curtis Samuel, Jahan Dotson, and wait till Dotson, like, wait till it clicks for this young man. He's not doing what he's advertised to do, but he's getting it done. He's scoring touchdowns left and right. And when he turns on that speed and he becomes that deep threat, my God.
Yeah, right? You're right about that. I mean, that's one of those
everything things. KJ Hamler should have been. And he's actually Hamler's disciple because Hamler's his mentor.
See, I'm remembering there was a Penn State receiver we featured on Draft Guys TV. Who's like
Jordan Norwood.
Jordan Norwood.
He had the longest punt return in Super Bowl 50 in NFL history.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And remember, there were three Penn State receivers that year.
Yes.
The one dude got drafted in like the third round. Another dude got drafted in like the third or fourth round. And Jordan was undrafted. Jordan outplayed them all.
He's the technician. And
I think it was Derek Williams. Is that right?
That sounds right. Yeah. The
Lions.
Athlete.
Yeah.
The athlete. So you've got this Washington Pat. And then, and like you said, with Dotson, and what strikes me when you say that, he says, this is going to go down as a really pretty amazing wide receiver first round. When we look at how, like, Drake London's got the goods, even though they barely use him. Chris Olave's got the goods and they're using him. Yeah. Jameson Williams got the goods. They're going to use him. Garrett Wilson's got the goods. And he has already arrived.
Yep.
And Treylon Burks looks good too. Treylon Burks had a tremendous touchdown catch. You mentioned that Chiefs Bengals rivalry, Cease. And I just want to say this, Samaje Perine is not messing around with Sorry Joe that one, because he is becoming, as more so than Joe Mixon, a spirit animal for this Bengals team. Jahan Dotson, the spirit animal, like you said, he can do contested catches. He can make things happen with elusiveness after the catch, like he did on the game tying touchdown last week. And he does have speed. And the Curtis Samuel. So what you have here is, again, Washington's on bye, so you're not running out to pick up Washington players. But Dotson and Samuel both have talent. Taylor Heineke's throwing the ball better. Schedule's manageable. They're good depth break glass in case of emergency. And really true emergency guys, let's just get to the one percenters. Isaiah Hodgins, he did have 5 for 44 and a touchdown. Mm-hmm. Daniel Jones is playing pretty well. And then Equanimeous St. Brown, he's the number one receiver. Chase Claypool, pretty gnarly injury. Justin Fields can sling it downfield. Equanimeous St. Brown. It always seems strange to me, Cease, that he didn't get more of an opportunity with the Packers, considering everything that they have gone through, a wide receiver, outside wide receiver. But it's
that's a Rodgers thing.
Yeah. That's a thick file. When you pull that file out, Rodgers things.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty big file. So it's good to see that. Chicago's on bye this week. Detroit, and we might face Jeffrey Okuda, who, you know, God, I also want to wax rhapsodic about the Lions and how everything is going for them. His brother, Amon Ra St. Brown. I'm just glad that we can talk about Amon Ra. People need to know more about Amon Ra, not the football player.
Yes, the sun god. Him and Thoth. You need to learn. You need to read those emerald tablets, Bloom. That's right.
So, yeah, there's your emergency depth.
Man alive. Zara, appreciate you. He's in the NICU with his daughter, 6 days old. So appreciate you and appreciate all those people, the wonderful people that he said the NICU staff are like family at this point. Like, they're true angels. We really do have angels on this angels. World.
See, there are places... like jails, courthouses, hospitals, where the people who do the work there are doing work like it resonates beyond this dimension. Right. And you feel it when you need them. And they're, you know, what is Mr. Rogers? May rest in peace. Look for the helpers.
Yeah. Look for the helpers. Yeah. There you go. That's right. Everyone, now to the moment you've all been waiting for. Because we started the show, Bloom, and it was nothing but tight end talk in the chat room. Oh. Summer stock and tight end talk in the chat room. So tight ends away we go. And Dr. Gene Bramble's injury report. It's Monday injury rounds. It's available at footballguys.com. So Monday injury rounds for tight end. You're waiting for Darren Waller to ever come back. All right. So we're looking at that situation. Hayden Hurst, you mentioned, oh, wow, he's got a calf injury. He's doubtful. I hope you weren't relying on Hayden Hurst, but... yeah, it's been rough, absolutely brutal at the tight end position. I wish we had more help for y'all. I wish we did. There's not much, but what is out there, Bloom, you have on your upgrades, downgrades, and waiver wire report. And what you do have are three at the top. One's a former Bronco, one's a Bronco, and one's a former first round pick. Greg Dulcich, Evan Engram, and Noah Fant. There's a lot to step through here, so let's get to stepping.
Yeah, Dulcich, and see, I should really just defer to you, but just from a structural fantasy football point of view, there's no Cortland Sutton, so there's just a narrower target tree. And
it's got to be personal with Albert Okwuegbunam, because like he's a healthy scratch all the time, can't get on the field, and they don't have any wide receivers. Right. Notice on our wide receiver talk, we didn't talk about Montrell Washington or anybody. It's like, they don't have any wide receivers. Judy's barely coming back. Sutton's out or day-to-day, whatever, with a hamstring. It's like, you can't make Albert O a wide receiver. So that's got to be personal. But it's Dulcich. Dulcich is doing what they want him to do. And, well, the middle field is open if Russ will see it.
Yeah, and notice I'm not the quarterback. I try to sort this a tier out for you. I'm not sorting out this tier because honestly, I don't have the clarity. Evan Engram had a touchdown last week. It was the Detroit matchup. He came out of his slumber. He got a little bit banged up. So maybe that was the answer. And we're back to him being a nice solid 7 to 10 point week play with, you know, he gets a touchdown. Maybe there's a chance. Tennessee, that sounds like a good matchup for a passing game. I think you're going to see Evan Engram. When the projections come down this week in Dulcich, Kansas City, you're probably going to have to pass a lot to keep up with Kansas City. Denver's defense can turn these games into ugly slug street fight kind of games. So I probably will have Engram ahead, or maybe now Noah Fant won't necessarily be ahead of these guys. However, Noah Fant caught a touchdown last week. And if Kenneth Walker can't play, if Tony Jones is the starting running back for Seattle, what's the run pass split going to be? I mean, it's going to be Geno Smith throwing to all those talented receivers that they have. So that could be a recipe for Noah Fant. So they all have a good ability this week to put up points, and they're all talented athletes and receivers. And, you know, like you said, the way you group them together, they're similar commodities, and you could do a lot worse than starting one of them in week 14 in your playoffs.
And beyond that, Daniel Bellinger's back, I guess. Chigi Okonkwo makes me happy, Bloom.
Yeah, he would be
so
the
let's
next
talk
one.
About Chigi. There you go. Maybe Isaiah Likely. They want to work him in more. If he's even out there.
If he's even out there. I think he got a little banged up in that game, too.
He did.
But, you know, Tyler Huntley, I mean, we'll say that. Tyler Huntley will throw the ball short a lot. So, I mean, if you're asking, where's DeMarcus Robinson or where's Devin Duvernay? I mean, look, they have both like 10, 12 fantasy point plays. But in PPR leagues, when you got points for their catches because they weren't doing much, Tyler Huntley's not going to stretch the field. So Devin Duvernay's speed's going to, you know, just stay on the shelf. So Chiggy. And see, you've been calling this. I think you put it out there in the universe first, like Delanie Walker. And this thing.
He's Delanie Walker. He's
Delanie Walker. So Dynasty Leagues, I hope you got him once he started talking him up. And he's building snaps, building momentum. Tennessee, the other thing here.
So I'm at the Shrine game.
Yeah, there you go. Drink. Boy, we're all drunk already. Day drinking, New Orleans style.
These tight ends will make you drunk. Not on the show. Just in case anyone's watching. I'm drinking Gatorade. Especially, I don't want to get in trouble again.
No, we're not going to get in trouble. Okonkwo could be trouble for a Tennessee, trouble for fantasy teams that are facing him because of and for teams facing Tennessee. And he could be really important because it does not happen with Derrick Henry. You know, you feel kind of bad. Cease. It's that point in the film, you know, again, it's John Henry still driving man, like where he's given everything he has. He doesn't have anything left. And the defenses who are tired of him running them over year after year, Jacksonville this week, right, are saying, now we get to line up the shots on you. Mm-hmm. Now we get to deliver the punishment instead of.
And he has no protection like a quarterback does.
No.
Derrick Henry's getting treated because essentially is their quarterback, right?
Yeah.
But he's getting treated like, because defenders love to take shots at quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Now they're loving to take shots at Derrick Henry.
Yeah. So, and I notice, and by the way, we had, I think for 4 weeks, I've been highlighting guys like Alexander Mattison, Dontrell Hood. You all know the drill on that already. And if you had room to pick them up, you would have picked them up with all the other weeks I was saying to pick them up. So that's why we're not talking about Dontrell Hilliard, but that just makes me think, yeah, don't forget about Dontrell Hilliard. Don't forget about Okonkwo, because this offense is going to fall on Ryan Tannehill. And with Treylon Burks probably missing this week too, if you pick up Okonkwo against Jacksonville, it could be a really good play and make you feel like you've got something really good for the fantasy playoffs. Daniel Bellinger is going to get catches. It's good that he's back. Hate seeing eye injury on the injury report. Mm-hmm. And San Diego State Aztecs, baby, they were underusing him as a receiver. Daniel Bellinger, and I'm not saying this tongue-in-cheek, he's one of the keys to the offense, and he can help this offense get better
for sure,
and help this team make the playoffs and help your team in the fantasy playoffs.
In the fantasy playoffs, we go, or maybe we don't go because of some of the players. So maybe you're watching this show just like an after, like, so I'm out of it, but I still want to watch. Thank you. Like, comment, share, subscribe, and notification, YouTube, hoops, jump through, woo. But either way, and Bloom, you know, you have some good weeks, you have some not so good weeks, you keep moving on, right?
What
am I supposed to learn? Right? What am I supposed to learn? What is this? What's going on here? What am I supposed to learn is what I always ask myself, no matter what happens, good and bad.
We call that the Cecil Lammy. That's like the Cecil Lammy commandment in our household.
Ah, there you go.
When you're struggling, ask yourself, what am I supposed to learn from this?
What am I supposed to learn from this? And how do you react to it? Well, there's one thing that you can do every single week if you want to react to me. Now, as Brian mentions in the chat room, maybe a little bit quieter today.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So we just, you know, a little bit quieter today when we do this, but we're still going to do it because I'm going to go do it. We're going to do it together. That's what this is all about. Community, humanity, togetherness. As you scream it with me or whisper. Hear the chat.
And look, when we get to the fantasy playoffs, it's a lot easier to do this with, not even without remorse, but with prejudice, right? I'm not going to say that for Jimmy Garoppolo. Feel bad about that. Quarterback that you're not holding in one quarterback league anymore, Marcus Mariota, might be dropping him in two quarterback leagues soon. So let's pick a Meridian here. The Meridian is Taylor Heinicke. And the idea is, would you rather have Taylor Heinicke or this quarterback? I think you'd rather have Taylor Heinicke than Mac Jones at this point. I'm not sure Mac Jones is going to be starting. I think you'd rather have Taylor Heinicke than Aaron Rodgers. I'm not sure when Aaron Rodgers is going to be starting, like when he's going to be pulled. Mac Jones has that schedule against the pass. And then Deshaun Watson, I'd rather have Deshaun Watson than Taylor Heinicke, but Cease, would you rather have to look to Deshaun Watson or Jared Goff? Would you rather have Jared Goff. Watson? Yeah, right. Would you rather have Deshaun Watson or Tyler Huntley?
Tyler Huntley.
Right. So even though you're like, oh, I hold on to Deshaun Watson for all this time, what am I going to have? Well, what you're going to have is a quarterback that you drop for somebody. If they're out there on the waiver wire, you're shutting down Deshaun Watson. And I won't even go there, but that might be something that you enjoy doing. Running back, James Robinson. I feel for James Robinson. Mm. I'm one of the people, because boy, I like to talk and pronounce things. The Achilles curse is over. Is it over? I don't know if it's over for James Robinson. I'm not attached to Gus Edwards at this point. Like, I'm dropping Gus Edwards for Jordan Mason. Certainly not attached to Kyren Williams. I'm dropping Kyren Williams for some of these, like, Ty Johnson, Jerick McKinnon types. Jeff Wilson, I'm certainly dropping him for Raheem Mostert, right? If you've been holding on to Jeff Wilson and Mostert's out there, it's like Devin Singletary. I said with Singletary, if the only way you can add James Cook is to drop Devin Singletary, then you drop Devin Singletary for James Cook. I think it's the same thing with Jeff Wilson. And I would drop Jeff Wilson for those quarterbacks. I'd drop Jeff Wilson if you needed a tight end even. We're shutting them down. Now we get to some shutting them down. And Chase Claypool, I hate to see that. Shutting down Cortland Sutton, as he said weeks ago. Shutting down Sky Moore? What's going on there? It's weird. I don't know. I'm just not sure. DeAndre Carter, you're shutting down. Juju Smith-Schuster, I don't feel confident in him in any given week. So if I have to drop him for Tyler Huntley, for Jared Goff, right? If I have to drop him, if I need a running back this week and that's who I have to drop to get Raheem Mostert, all right, bye-bye, Juju. That has a nice ring to it. Tight end, it's Hayden Hurst. Calf injuries, Dr. Gene, cue him saying calf injuries are tricky. I'm not going to play him the week he comes back. So that means what we're looking at least 2 weeks. So I'm just using that roster spot to try to make something happen on my roster.
Make it happen on your roster. But sometimes, James Robinson's so difficult of a decision, Bloom, for me. Because I love him.
You want him to get a ring if you could get a ring.
Yeah. And so that's why there are some of these players. Maybe Robinson, is that for you? Is that for me, Bloom? I just want to hold on. Who are those players in week 14?
Yeah, I know that there is pain, but you hold on for one more day and you break free, break from the chain. Someday somebody's gonna make you want to turn around and say goodbye.
And anybody who holds on to players so they can get a ring and win a championship, then you get fantasy football. Then you really get it, because that's what it's about. It's about simulating that you're the GM. Hold on to Lamar Jackson. We'll see what happens. Maybe he could play by week 16 or 17. He's Lamar Jackson. He can win your league for you. Don't drop Devin Singletary yet, unless it's to get James Cook, or if you're really in a pinch, a Huntley, a Mostert. I mean, I might even say just roll the dice with Singletary over Mostert and see what happens. I'm not ready to bail on Zay Jones yet. Again, it's Tennessee this week. He could have another 8 or 10 catch week this week. He had three drops last week, which is like, he had three drops, but the opportunities were there for him to have a better day. Jacoby Myers, and it's because of the schedule. It's just because of the schedule. And remember, the one game that Bailey Zappi played, I think he completed like 17 passes and like 8 were to Myers, something like that. Don't quote me on the specific numbers, but know that Bailey Zappi, if he becomes quarterback, he knows that Jacoby Myers, good things happen when you throw the ball to him. Don't drop Traylon Burks. He didn't drop that touchdown. Don't drop him. And another week in the book, see. So yeah, we got to spend some time together. And it's about fantasy football, but it's really about spending time together and then just being in awe. See, we talked about awe before we came on, and awe of these stories and awe of how much these players put on the line, sometimes lose, sometimes gain. I don't think we mentioned this enough because we talk about the Shrine Game and Senior Bowl, drink. Players' lives are being changed by what they're doing on the field, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just the offensive players, because we're focused on fantasy football, but while we're not watching some of these undrafted free agents, some of these players that are getting opportunities because it's the end of the season and their team's out of it, right? They're changing their life by finally getting a chance.
They're manifesting.
And yeah. So it's something to behold, no matter how your fantasy team is doing.
Yeah, it's powerful. It's powerful. And that's why I wrote this down from Ryan on my little sticky note.
Yeah.
We never lose. We win or we learn.
Yeah.
And then Dave said, "Winning is learning is winning."
There you go. Knowing is half the battle.
That's right. What you think about, you bring about. I'm gonna get all crunchy now. Point at my third eye, and well, we better. That's when we're like, wrap it up. The director behind the scenes, like,
right. Play the playoff music, right? It's like the Oscars when they have the time to leave the stage.
They're turning into spirit science. Wrap it up. Anyway, that is a wrap for today's program. We love you all. Love you. Appreciate you, each and every one of you. Like Ion says, we love you guys. We love you too, man. So please do all those YouTube things. I know it's annoying, but please help us out. Like, comment, share, subscribe, hit the notification bell so that you never miss a vid. He is Sigmund Bloom. You follow him on Twitter. The most important thing ever. And that is at Sigmund Bloom. I am at Cecil Lammy. The show is at The Audible. And until next time, be safe, be kind, know that you are appreciated. Stay tuned. And as always, stay frosty.
Oh, no.
What?
Oh, boy. This Whoa. Isn't my bad, guys.
Oh, my God, Rafi!
Get out of here. Go.
No, it's okay.
The drive to go further and reach higher. The same thing that inspires you inspires us. At Strayer University, we're always searching for new ways to make education more affordable. That's why we offer access to up to 10 no-cost gen ed courses to help you save time and money so you can keep striving. Visit strayer.edu to learn more. No-cost gen eds provided by Strayer University affiliates Sophia Learning. Eligibility rules apply. Connect with us for details. Strayer University is certified to operate in Virginia by CHEV.